So John Leach has a rule that I can't have sermons longer than 2 cough drops. I don't know if you all knew that. I may have a few cough drops in the middle of the sermon. So. All right. Please forgive me. I may chew them up. Tonight we're focusing in on the thought here. Matthew's our guide, not the world. Matthew's our guide in the season of Advent. Jesus is the son of Solomon. You know, as I've been studying Solomon, thinking about who this guy was in the Old Testament, this is my synopsis of Solomon. It's easy to start. How does it go? Hard to finish. Yeah, that's Solomon. I really think that's who he is. In a few weeks, maybe you can relate to how this works. It's really exciting starting a new workout routine with the start of the year. Day one, man, lots of excitement on how that's going to go. Anticipation's really high. You have the dazzling new workout clothes that you purchased to flex your muscles and do great things. The push-ups come pretty easy. And that trainer that you hired, he's really handsome. And he's really fit. You want to get like that. Day two, the workout routine. It goes pretty well. You get up at 7 a.m. to make it there. And there's a little soreness that's setting in, the dazzling clothes. They're still special. They get you in the mood. And there's motivation to start this workout routine. Day three, things aren't so rosy. Soreness is set in. Those dazzling clothes, they're not so dazzling, and they kind of remind you of something that you have to do. And that handsome guy that, you know, gave you, drill sergeant instructions, he's kind of harsh, and he's rude. Ugh. Day four, disaster. Muscles are so sore, you can't even get out of bed, and you just use the remote to flip the channels to see what's going on. The weather channel, the golf channel, that sort of thing. Man, that guy, he was such a rude guy, and he was such a jerk in the instructions that he gave. Why couldn't he figure out how to motivate me in the right way? That's in a week. That's going to happen. Easy to start, hard to finish. That's Solomon. Solomon starts out, man, right out of the gates. Think of this. I think we forget this. There's a little Bible review here. Solomon. His father dies, David. And how many sons does David have? Jonathan. Whole bunch. 17. David has 17 sons, right? They're vying for the throne. Absalom's one of them, a whole bunch of them. And they're fighting each other, and there are lots of enemies trying to come in that are not David's sons. And guess who rises quickly to the top? Solomon. Now, in the Hebrew, it's interesting. When most children are mentioned in the Old Testament, they have a different term. But for Solomon, when he's mentioned, it's Na'ar in the Hebrew. He's a prodigy. Solomon writes, we believe, over 3,000 proverbs and over 1,000 songs. This guy is a talent. Wow. He shoots out right out of the gates. Solomon is an economic genius. He secures the route on the Mediterranean coast. Not just that, there's an international route from Dan down to Beersheba, if you look on the map. He secures these routes, and in 1 Kings chapter 4, it says this, from Dan to Bathsheba, Judah and Israel had safety. The people could tend to their vineyards and take care of their figs. Now, there was no Dow Jones Industrial in the Old Testament. But that little phrase in Kings is as good as it gets. There's economic boom under Solomon. Solomon has problem-solving skills. You probably know the story. The two women come claiming to have the child. Solomon wisely gives a judgment that shows who the true mother is. Solomon says things like this to the king of Sidon. He says, let my people get with your people and we'll figure it out. He's a powerful man. Maybe no one likes Solomon in the entire Old Testament. Solomon builds the temple. But then there's this little phrase. You heard me read it. Solomon had 700 wives of royal birth, 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. So Solomon was someone that started out well, but then didn't finish so well. I've been thinking about the trap that Solomon had there with all the wives and how they led him astray and how he disobeyed God. It kind of reminds me of watching bees in the summer at Peace Lutheran Church. There are bee catchers that we've had out on the trees that I've seen back here. I don't know what the technical term is. What are those called? The yellow bee catchers, you know what I'm talking about, that hang in the trees? Is there a word for that? I don't know. A trap. A yellow trap. Well, it's often the case where I've seen bees kind of flying around me and kind of confusing me, and I think they're going after me. But the bees look at the trap, and they go after it. And one day I thought to myself, why do they do that? Don't they see the hundreds of bees at the bottom of the bee trap? Come on. Certainly they're going to turn around and fly off and go in some distant, another direction, or come after me and try and sting me. No, they go right into the trap. So did Solomon. He did too. The child prodigy that started out so strong is trapped with 1,000 wives asking him to go in all sorts of different directions and to participate maybe in child sacrifice. That's why these gods were bad. They demanded bad things of their people. Gone is Solomon's glory. Gone is his kingdom. And 1 Kings chapter 17 relates that the kingdom is split in two forever. So I think I'm accurate here. Easy to start, hard to finish. We do that too in our own lives. We're really good to start things. There's lots of enthusiasm out of the gates, excitement. And whenever there's a new position or a new routine or a new relationship to join into, man, that's a lot of exciting. Time passes and we get bored. We lose the enthusiasm. We lose the focus. Something new comes along, something more exciting, something better to do. And see, that's when the trap happens. And we know we are no longer able to finish what we once started. It can happen in our faith if we're not careful. We can lose the essence of the Christian faith. We can lose the joy of salvation. We can lose the concern for those who are lost and don't know Jesus. We can lose the vigor for God's word, and we're trapped. We say to ourselves, man, the bees, why do they do that? We do the same thing, don't we? And we lose that vigor and strength. We don't finish as strong as we started in our faith walk. One greater than Solomon is here, Matthew tells us, Matthew chapter 12. Jesus started strong out of the gate. We're told that people with various diseases came to him and he healed all of them. There were many people who had illnesses. He calmed them, healed them. Healed those that were crippled, gave sight to the blind. Many people came his way. And you see all the trappings that we're talking about, kind of getting distracted by new things, new people, new positions. They were put out there for Jesus. Jesus, be the king. John 6, people say, be the king right here. Jesus disappears. His disciples, Peter says, hang out here with Elijah and Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration. Relax and enjoy this moment. The disciples want him to bring in an earthly kingdom. All these trappings that come to us that keep us from finishing the job, they were put there towards Jesus. And he also had lots of reasons not to finish. Well, nails, beatings, floggings, false charges by mobs, all sorts of things. Disciples who betrayed him. Disciples who ran for cover when he was arrested. People who cried, crucify, crucify, crucify him, crucify him. The Father abandoned him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus finished strong. No one's done that. Only Jesus. He finished strong. Started strong, finished strong. He's greater than Solomon. And what that means for us is the sacrifice is complete. Death is defeated and paradise is opened for us. So as we walk out to our new routines and exciting things in the next year and in the days ahead, one takeaway from this message is that when we try to just do it by our own strength, we're going to fall into the trappings of Solomon. We're going to get distracted by new things and go in new directions. It's best as we go on our journeys to fix our eyes on Jesus. As Paul says in Hebrews chapter 12, Jesus, the author and perfecter, another way to translate that, the author and finisher of the faith. Or how it says in Philippians, he who began a good work in you will complete it. One greater than Solomon is coming this Christmas. He begins well, he finishes well. We put our trust in him. Amen. And we'll conclude our service with prayer and beginning with the Annunciation. Please rise.